What's going on out there, everybody? What's happening? Hello? What's happening, everybody? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, it's mi amigo, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a beautiful fall day. Woo-hoo! Here in North Central Texas.
No joke.
Man, I am getting ramped up, and I'm getting ramped up because of several things. Last night, there was a preseason hockey game on. There's some college football games that'll be banging this weekend, and archery season starting this weekend. So this is one of the main reasons fall is my favorite time of year. It finally is not blistering hot.
Yes.
It can still be warm, but it's not like some of the days this summer. It's like too hot to go do anything.
Yeah, it just takes the fun right out of it.
Takes the fun right out of it. Man, I'm pumped. How about you?
Dude, I just got back. We've been out at our lease off and on this whole week for the cooler weather. We've been popping in when we have time and getting a few things done here and there. But yeah, I was out there. The weather's great. Everything looks pretty. It's beautiful. It was quiet. And man, I'm looking forward to those mornings when the sun comes up and it's cold and it's quiet. It's just, I enjoy listening to the world come alive.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was sharpening broadheads just the other day.
Yep.
I'm really, really excited about it. Cam, yeah. Luke is really getting excited about Halloween. It's that time of year. Of course, we went to Home Depot and Lowe's to look at all the decorations. There's like a 20-foot tall werewolf that he wants me to buy to put in the front yard. Now, why?
Why not?
Why not? I told him, I go, man, it's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but I'm afraid like if I put it in the front yard, some teenagers are just drive by and steal it.
Steal it. Might happen.
They had a whole bunch. They had like a scarecrow. They had like a skeleton, of course, and then all these other little things. And
what's he going as? Has he made up his mind
yet? He has not made up his mind, but he's already been helping my wife decorate the front porch. He's got we got a smoke machine that we've had for a couple of years. He likes to trigger that thing left and right, and he likes to play like Thriller.
Are we going to bring the smoke machine to the live show?
Well, we can.
Well, he can trigger it for us and it'll just waft out at our feet.
We can, but we're going to have to dial it down because he will like fill that whole room up.
Oh, yeah, we might not. Little Fizzy might be going crazy.
Some of the patrons aren't there to see us, so they might be like, dude, what is the deal with the smoke?
Well, yeah, that's on them.
I don't know. I have to talk to Joe.
Almost every patron that'll be there is not there to see us.
That's true. Yeah.
I think we got six people coming.
But three of them are speakers.
That's true.
We got Nick Redfern, Lyle Blackburn, and Mike Mays.
Yeah, so they're going to come hang out.
I think it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it, much like everything else this month.
Oh, yeah.
October is action-packed. I got the state fair that me and my wife always go to once a year without the kids.
I think my wife wants to go. My wife has said that she wants to go to the state fair, so her and I may actually go. Dude, I haven't been, like I've told y'all.
I don't remember
taking the kids. I don't think I've been since like school.
Don't go on weekends and don't go on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays are Dr. Pepper half off days.
Ooh,
it's more crowded.
I got
you. Go on like a Monday or a Wednesday. You can go everywhere you want.
Okay.
No problem.
So just pay that. That's like paying the fast pass. Don't take the break. Just go in there and pay the full price and walk around in there with less people.
Yeah,
I'm down.
They're still going to rip you off with the whole coupon thing.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
That's part of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, I just want to go swing the big hammer and ring the bell and eat like don't we do all those feats of strength? And I want to go eat the funnel cakes and all the junk food there so I can knock like 6 years off my life.
I don't even go to the midway part. Like,
you don't?
I like to, no.
That's, I don't know why you're telling them that. You tell me all the time. You're like, I cannot wait to go ride the teacups.
And throw the
spinnaker,
throw the
rings on the milk bottle.
Yeah. I like to look at all the new vehicles. I like to look at all the new side-by-sides. I like to look at all the new hot tubs and gadgets.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, we got a cool, hummingbird feeder. We got just, they always have all these people with these really cool ideas. And, of course, they got the normal stuff, like candles and bath bombs and stuff. But they got a lot of stuff there. And then they got some really good treats. The food there is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Get you a turkey leg, get you a funnel cake.
Years ago, several years back on the show, I had done a whole segment about, what was his name? Was it Grady? The fellow that was the lobster boy that I met there when I was in school that was actually at the sideshow. And I did a whole episode on him and how he was apparently not a really good person. And then they ended up, but I actually sat and talked to the dude whenever I was a young boy.
He's probably not a good person because he's had a lifetime of ridicule.
That's 100% what it was. Yeah. But that's the first and last place I ever remember seeing a tried and true, what was known as a freak show whenever we were kids. That was what the sideshow. That's what
I miss the rattlesnake shows. And not just for me, but I miss it for like Luke. Like I wish Luke could see that.
Oh, yeah. Like because they used to, yeah. When we used to have big ones here in town.
Yeah, every year. And you'd go up there, you could eat snakes, you could buy belts, you could buy like the big scorpions.
It was in the Kroger parking lot.
Yeah.
Remember that? And it was, man, they were snakes everywhere.
And you'd see, you know, ranchers and guys poking them and lifting them up and showing them and teasing them.
Yeah.
And they were all round up here locally. So you're like, you'd see these massive ones, big as your forearm. You'd be like, golly, look at that thing. Because like Luke, other than like the snake farm or the zoo, he's never seen wild rattlesnakes.
Does he want to? We can take him right now and I can go show him some.
But you know what? But not that many in one location. Yeah. And then, of course, as kids, we were always hoping somebody would get bit. And every once in a while, they would. And that was like just icing on the cake, right?
Yeah.
I remember there was an old guy.
Don't talk about the dude laying in the bathtub, dude.
Yeah, I remember that guy, too. There was a guy that got bit, and he acted like it was no big deal. And I remember as a kid talking to him, and he said he's been bit so many times that, like, his body's immune to rattlesnake venom. And apparently I thought he was lying at the time, but that's like a thing.
No thanks.
I guess if you just keep giving yourself like micro doses of
You know what that doesn't work with? Chocolate chip cookies. No. I wish I could eat those and I was immune, right? And like they didn't put on weight. They didn't do, but they don't. I've eaten a bunch of them. I'm still not immune to chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, man.
Since you brought up deer season.
Yeah.
Right. And we talked about sitting there and we, you know, people have reported seeing some strange things. Let me lay this on y'all. A bizarre encounter in Central Texas. All right. Get a load of this. Says, so this happened a week or so ago and I can't stop thinking about it. My family has a small farmstead in more or less the middle of nowhere, Central Texas, to the southeast of Austin. But very rural, all dirt roads, only a couple of neighbors within a mile or so. Now, I usually walk my dog in the thick woods on our property, but sometimes we walk along the dirt roads because it's like we have them all to ourselves. Maybe five or six cars will pass by our place on the county road in the course of a given day. So we're walking along the dirt road back home when we heard something crash in the woods off to our left. I looked closely and didn't see anything and just figured it was an animal or a branch falling, no big deal. Well, a few more steps, two coyotes burst out of the woods and crossed the road right in front of us. Now, this is weird because it's late in the day for coyotes to be active, but more so because they're huge coyotes. They look giant, almost like wolf size, and we don't have wolves here. And one of them looks kind of hunched over, like it's hurt or it's almost bipedal, loping along on all fours for some reason. Now, and this comes to play in a second. This note here that I saw absolutely no antlers or anything. Okay, nothing. My dog starts to act out, which is odd for my pup. So these big, possibly injured coyotes run into the brush on the other side of the road. My dog and I kind of stand there for a bit, and then we move on. Now it's in the country, and of course there's coyotes out, so no big deal. Well, as we round the corner, here comes one of those coyotes crossing the road again. Fast, and it scoots under the fence, and I watch it run across the pasture past some cattle who were just totally unbothered by this big dog running past them. I call my dog back because I want to know where the second one is, and it's probably going to pop out of nowhere, and I don't want her getting in a fight with this critter, right? Here's where it gets strange. Sure enough, one runs out, the second one, and it's hunched over and injured looking. It hits the fence line where there's a little bit of low scrubby brush. Well, I wait for it to pop out on the other side, start watching to see how these cows are going to react. But it doesn't. It doesn't come out. It just sort of disappears into this tiny patch of brush, which doesn't seem all big or dense enough to conceal it. As we slowly move closer to the fence and the brush to see if this coyote's hurt or hung up in the fence, all of a sudden, one of the biggest, most majestic bucks I've ever seen around here pops out of this fence line and runs into the field. His antlers are huge. I mean, he's big, taller and more muscular than most of the deer around here. He runs along a bit, then just turns and watches us. Well, we got closer to the fence to see what was up with this coyote, but there's no coyote, and absolutely nowhere a coyote could have hidden. Now, the deer's still watching us, and I don't know what to do, so I just shout, "Good morning," and say something like, "Oh, we mean you no harm," and then we walked home. So, yeah. This big injured coyote kind of morphed into a big healthy buck, more or less, before my very eyes. I guess it was probably a deer all along, slumped over and maybe slinking fast away from the coyote. But that's weird because one, I saw the coyote twice, and it definitely looked like a coyote and definitely had no answers. And two, a big buck isn't going to run away from a lone coyote. Now, things are crazy out here in the sticks sometimes, even in the middle of the day. Andrew.
Wow. So interesting. Another case of something morphing into something else, right?
So it makes me wonder, right? Like, we've seen dens, and they'll dig dens like in the middle of those wild plum thickets or in the middle of scrub brush so they can run in there low to the ground and dip off in there, right?
Yep.
Hide in their den, a coyote den. That being said, a buck could have been hiding in that scrub brush. This hurt coyote could have ran off and had a den in the scrub brush, right?
True.
And then you walking by and all the commotion, the buck may have, and the person never talks about the wind and which direction the wind was blowing. Maybe it was blowing towards the deer, and that's what spooked the deer. Maybe the coyote smell spooked the deer. I don't know. But it is awful odd that they saw them both, and they were still lingering in there that close, back and forth, and one looked injured and hunched over. So were they after pursuing the buck maybe earlier in the night? Something had happened. I mean, I know coyotes bring them down, but man, they don't like going. It's like anything else. They like to go after the ones that are slow, the ones that are easier to take
out. Or young.
Or yeah, that you don't have to put up quite a fight
for. Like a big buck is going to be pretty tough for a coyote.
It's going to be some work. Yeah.
Coyotes only weigh like 35.
45 pounds. Yeah. I mean, they're not huge animals.
No.
So it is, but they're talking about there being huge, like bigger than normal coyotes too. So there was, I mean, that's odd. There's definitely some weirdness going on. But what is it about this not deer business?
I don't know.
We still get so, and I'm expecting more. I'm expecting there to be a lot more not deer now that hunting season's picking up. People are going to start seeing them. Not to mention that they're also going to be moving more. We're going to see more deer activity as they pick up in the rut, as they're preparing for the winter.
Yeah, I hope I don't see a not deer this weekend.
I hope you text me and you're like, bro, I think I see a not deer.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Here's the thing. There's all the not deer that were on our lease last year aren't on there this year.
That's true.
Those are cows, folks. Slow elk, not deer.
Check this out. It says, howdy, fellas. First off, I want to say how happy I was to stumble upon your podcast about 6 months ago.
Well, thanks for popping in.
I went through and listened to nearly all of your previous episodes and now look forward to your weekly shows with anticipation. With the weather here turning to feel like fall finally, I had been considering sending you a message to relay a ghost experience from when I was in college. Hearing your call for spooky encounters, I couldn't resist. So here is my story. The year was 1998, and I was living with three other friends and a couple of their dogs in an old row house in Richmond, Virginia. It was a great year, as it was our last year in college, with all of us going through art school together. As fortune had it, Halloween fell on a Saturday that year, so we decided to host a big party for all of our friends that weekend. We had been preparing for a week, getting everything decorated, creating a great Halloween music playlist, and putting our costumes together. Everyone decided to go to bed earlier than usual on Friday because we were tired from all the preparations and schoolwork. There was plenty to do still on Saturday. Now, normally, we were all night owls, staying up to 1 to 2 a.m. nearly every night. But this night, everyone was in bed by 11:30. I was having trouble winding down, and I kept glancing at the clock. The last glance was around 11:56. I was just laying there with my eyes closed when I felt a cold sensation that started at my feet and moved up my body. I opened my eyes to see what was going on and realized that I couldn't move. Now, I've had sleep paralysis plenty of times. It used to freak me out, but now I have tricks to break out of it, so it's more annoying than it is scary. But something was different this time, as I caught movement out of the corner of my eye. It was a very light blue, slightly glowing light that swirled around. It had a form of ink dropped into water, only slowly, without changing color from that light blue. Finally, a form began to emerge. It was the face and upper body of a beautiful young girl, probably around 18 years of age, and her hair flowed around as if she was underwater. At this point, I still couldn't move, but I didn't want to, as I had decided I was dreaming and wanted to see the odd adventure my subconscious was about to take me on, as her expression was playful and a bit mischievous. Her face floated sideways and came right up to my face, just a few inches away. As she looked deep into my eyes for what felt like too long, her smile faded and looked sympathetic. Then she put her right hand on my cheek, leaned in, and gave me a light kiss on the lips. As she pulled back, I could see her playfulness had returned. With a slight wave of her hand, she swirled back into the blue light form and suddenly exited with extreme speed out of my bedroom towards the back of the house. That's when all chaos broke out. Both dogs, asleep with their owners in their respective bedrooms, went on a vicious barking spree that charged all the way to the back of the house, both repeatedly hopping up to the window like they were trying to chase something that went through it. Needless to say, the sleep paralysis had ended, so I glanced back at the clock and it was 12:02, officially Halloween. My friends and I gathered in the room with the dogs trying to calm them down. It took about 30 minutes before we could get them settled. During that time, I told my friends about my experience, which freaked them out. Not me, though. The visit brought nothing but calm and peaceful feelings, and to this day, I still wonder who she was and why she had decided to visit me that night. And there it is. Hope you guys get a kick out of my experience, and keep up the great work. It's greatly appreciated. DW.
Is that a fae?
I don't know, but like when he talked about the beautiful woman with the flowing hair, like she's underwater, all I could think of is she's beautiful. Remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
All I could think of was the one floating above Ray.
Oh,
or
Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, same thing. Where his belt buckle and stuff starts coming undone.
He's a what?
Now, I was thinking of something horrifically, like it was just going to turn evil and their face was just going to melt apart. Still one of the best movies ever made.
Ever. Yeah, I'll watch that now. It does feel like was it coming out of this portal?
He doesn't know, or she doesn't know.
That's so crazy.
It just kind of manifested.
So how, I don't know how I would be feeling if there was like, imagine, it's one thing to see these things. Now imagine like you kind of froze and a portal's opening up in your room, right? Where you're like, how many's coming out of here now? Like, what just happened?
Right. Yeah, very, very that's disturbing. Yet, I mean, like, they weren't scared by it. They kind of thought it was a neat experience. So, not all of them are scary.
Yeah, that's true. Not all of them are scary. But how do you know till it's over, right? You don't know what you don't know. That's a big gamble you're taking.
Or if you're a wimp. See, I'd be scared. I'm scared of everything.
I'm scared now, just talking about it. And if you like being scared, folks, stick around after the break. I'm going to have a little discussion about creepy cornfields. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Like I discussed before, this is something that I think about coming up every Halloween, and you think of the old movies that sticks with you. But the idea of haunted fields, but especially haunted corn, right? I don't know if I was programmed or if, you know, we were all conditioned due to these movies or due to the fact of how popular they are for Halloween, for mazes. I did not realize until really digging in, I guess as a child, not thinking it was a big deal as much as it is now. You go online, folks, y'all can Google search anybody here in the States. I don't know about everywhere else, but anybody here in the States, you start Google searching right now, haunted corn mazes or haunted corn mazes near me. It's like haunted houses. I had no idea there were so many of them. Like it must be it's not that I'm going to go check it out. That's not my jam, but it was one of those deals that led into thinking about this. Think about the number of movies that you've probably watched in your life that have something to do with either a cornfield or just any sort of field, basically, there's always that eeriness, right? I know that, is it Joe Hill? I believe it was he and Stephen King wrote a short story that they made into a show on Netflix. They made a movie about it, and I think it's called In the Tall Grass, right? Supposed to be really, I guess, kind of creepy. This thing looks like you're getting lost in these tall, looks like Johnson grass or Bermuda, something like that, growing out there. The one I always think of that I really enjoy, if you watch Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix, if you go to volume 2, season 2, whatever it is there, look at the one called The Tall Grass. That's another one of those. They're out in the field, something crazy. You can't leave out Field of Dreams, right? You'd be a fool to start talking about a cornfield movie and leave out Field of Dreams. The voice is in the cornfield. The spirits are in the cornfield. We're playing baseball in the cornfield. Such a great film. Also, everybody yelling, everybody jumping up and down. Children of the Corn. Old school 84 Children of the Corn, right? With the Malachi, the whole deal. And then enough that they've made all the, you know, the redos and remakes and continue on and all of these sequels of Children of the Corn. What about Signs? If you're going to be talking about Fields, you got to talk about Signs, right? Another one. You're loving the show, you're loving Signs. Of course, it's still one of the creepiest points. Kyle and I have talked about that numerous times. That alien walking across that corn cut is very unsettling. What else is another one? Wasn't there, I believe, and I know there's some called Corn, and there's some with like the scarecrows in it and all of this. I always think of Jeepers Creepers, like the cornfield attack where he's up on the scarecrow thing and all that. I think of that one. That one was a good one. There's so many, right? And it's something that I think we don't think of. And it's also one of those deals, if you don't live in an area, you know, abundant with, let's say, cornfields, it's really outside of, it's something just out of sight, out of mind. You never think of. My daughter loves that part when she drives back between here and College Station. One of her favorite things is she'll cut through the country to go buy certain cornfields. She is one of those people. She loves it. She loves the fields, but she's been that way ever since she was little. Every time we would travel, as you go up through West Texas, there'd be fields of cotton out there. You can see all of that. She loved it. She'd see any kind of fields. As we go up, you start finding big fields of watermelons on our way between here and Oklahoma when she was little. She loved it. Something about it. But the rows of corn, I think it's that rhythm she likes. She likes order, right? Unlike her father, she likes order. I like the chaos. Not this girl. But it's funny because of, without realizing it, how drawn into Halloween and the fall and these cornfields and all this is. So there's no shocker that there's strange and unusual things have happened in and around these fields. I want to tell you one. This one comes from a little bit up north from G. So G Sin says it was 2001 and my best friend and I were 15 years old. Now we live in a small rural Minnesota town of about 2,000 people. And out of our friends group, her and I were the only two that lived out in the country. So we understood the boredom that could ensue, but the fun things that would come out of it. So exploring the woods, running around in the cornfields, creating forts, exploring the abandoned houses on their property, and so on was what we did to kill time, and it was really, really fun for us. So one day we decided to take our bikes and ride down some gravel roads. Her little brother tagged along. He was probably 9 or 10 at the time. We were riding along, laughing, probably picking on her brother, when we saw an old shack in one of the cornfields. The corn wasn't fully grown, so we were able to see most of it. So we decided to explore it because, well, why not? We peered inside, and the first thing I noticed were posters on the wall of the room. They were on every wall. There was a different person on every poster, and they looked angry. Some held guns pointed right at you. Some were pointing their finger, and it felt like they were pointing right at us with their eyes trained on us. Now, in the center of the floor was a perfectly painted red circle. My friend and I remember a star in the middle, but her little brother just remembers the circle. As we were staring at this creepy scene, I felt like we're being watched, and not by the posters. Well, so I looked to my right across the gravel road and into the cornfield across from us. Standing in the middle of the field is a man, and he's just watching us. He's not waving his arms, he's not yelling at us, just watching. I alert my friends, and we look at him together. I awkwardly wave, and he continues to just stand there, not waving back. Well, we are sufficiently creeped, so we jump on our bikes to get away. Now, we're on gravel, which isn't easy to bike on, so it's taking us a while to get going. We bike away, and I repeatedly turn around to see if he's still there, and he's still watching us. He barely moved, and only turned his body slightly to get an angle in our direction to keep watching. I still can't get over how he just appeared in the middle of a field like that. And recently, I've been thinking about this, so my friend, her brother, and I started a group chat. We all shared what we remembered, and they basically said everything I said above. What I didn't know was that they went back the next day, and everything was gone, even the red paint on the floor. A week later, whoever owned it donated it to the fire department to be burned. I don't know what was going on in that shack. Whatever it was, well, it still weirds me out to this very day. You know what? I don't know what was going on in there, but that is very, very disturbing. First of all, we've all seen those posters, right? We had one at the archery shop that was Howard Hill, and it was a drawn picture of Howard Hill aiming down his bow at you. And anywhere you moved, it was the optical illusion of him aiming directly at you, right? That's the way it was drawn. So I've seen those things like that. Now it is unnerving, but now imagine putting them on every wall, and maybe that's what the circle's for, right? Maybe they're just practicing their Nerf gun fast draw. So you stand in the circle, right? It's like a drinking game, and you whip your Nerf gun up real quick. I don't know why I'm whipping my finger up real quick, but you whip your Nerf gun up real quick, and you're shooting at the posters. Maybe that's all it was. That was that guy's fun little Nerf hangout, and he saw kids like, man, y'all can't be over here messing around with my Nerf guns. So he's started to weird him out, and then whatever it is, he got caught and had to get rid of it. That's what I'm going with. Nothing nefarious and unnerving to find in the middle of an old cornfield. Here's another one. Says that I'm from Central Illinois. When I was 10, my friend's mom was driving us back from Chicago, and that's a little over a two-hour drive. Most of that drive is, well, all cornfields. It was really late and everyone was asleep in the van except my friend's mom and I. I was sitting on the right side in the back when we passed by what looked like two teenagers coming out of the cornfield on the right side of the road. Now, normally, that isn't weird. Plenty of kids end up wandering through the cornfields at some point in Illinois. What was weird is where they were and how they looked. I will never forget the boy. He was probably 16 years old, wearing a white linen shirt and brown pants with suspenders. His hair was short but curly and brown. He was handsome and pale with dark circles under his eyes. He looked like he had blood on him, and the girl was with him looked very bad. She was wearing a blood-covered dress and was also pale with dark rings under her eyes. Now, where we were was really strange. The cornfield was huge, and there weren't any entrances off of I-55 that we could see. Well, my friend's mom immediately freaked out, thinking they had driven their car into the cornfield and must have been hurt. So we're driving pretty fast, and she had a van full of kids, so instead of pulling over, she grabbed her Nokia and called 911. I remember that she reported the mile marker and told the police that they looked like they needed help, and that, well, that's what it was. I never figured out what happened, and honestly, I think they were ghosts. Their movements were so strange. Their placement was just too odd. There was no way teenagers would be hanging out in the side of I-55 dressed like that at around midnight. D, thanks so much. I have questions, right? If it's at midnight and you're seeing them and you remember that much detail that quickly, either the van lights are extremely bright or Maybe there was a little bit more glow, maybe a little bit more something to them that you don't necessarily notice, right? But it seems like those details jumped out. It's, again, it's like the shows that you see where people are lost in the fields. Makes you wonder. If there's ley lines, right, folks? We know that there are ley lines around this planet. We know that in the UK and all this, we've seen crop circles, right? We've seen these crop circles around. And yeah, granted, like we've said before, some are fake. But some aren't. Some are unexplainable. Some are very strange. Some are that we don't understand. And I think the more that we've learned now about, you know, what we know about UFOs and as people have kind of come forward and all this, that maybe there's more to it than what we even realize. But given all of that, is there a way that people might time slip? Could you imagine a time slip in a cornfield, right? Like being lost in there forever, being lost in that maze of never ending, or where you feel like you've been lost for days and the sun is set and fallen multiple times only to pop out of the Fey realm and you've only been gone 15 minutes, right? Very, very strange things that could happen. And it seems to happen around some of these fields, or it also is just our minds, right? As we play inside of our own heads. I got one here I think you're going to enjoy. I enjoy it simply because of, well, you'll see. It's a little Lord of the Rings stuff here. It says, I was leaving my house with my friend. It was a few years ago in the beginning of winter. And as we're pulling out, we came to see a figure in the cornfield right next to my house. Well, as we got closer, we realized that it looked human, but that it wasn't human. It was a petrified pale color, and it was small on all fours, like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. It had pale eyes that looked hollow, with dark spots all around them. So instead of the black circles, it's black spots circling them, y'all. It says, we were both in my car, and we didn't say anything as when we saw it in the headlights, but as we passed it, we both looked at each other, and at the same time said, did you see that? I had completely forgotten about this until recently. My friend that was with me to saw this creature asked me about it. Well, I asked my sister about it a few days later, and she said, you might have seen a rake. So, of course, we looked it up and the pictures described, but I don't think it was exactly that. A little different. But I will never think or look at the paranormal the same again because of it. Thanks, R. Well, that is, of course, like I said, the idea of the Gollum. It's one of my favorites. Y'all know this. We're all Lord of the Rings fans, right? We love the fantasy realm. But this rake business, Kyle was talking about the pale crawlers. We've talked about the rakes, these golem creatures, again, right next to their house in a cornfield. Y'all have to jog my memory. I can't remember 100%, but didn't the Dogman sighting where we had like the 6 or 7, I believe they were right around the fields like that too. I don't think it was cornfields, but it might have been like they were appearing out of that. Man, I can't remember for sure. Now I'm going to be thinking about that too. Again, something crazy in the cornfield appearing out of there, almost like, again, like signs, right? This golem-esque creature slinking along beside the house. Very, very disturbing. Here's what I'm going to drop in here on you. This is a pretty good one. It says, this is something that happened to my brother when he was in high school. That's a pretty cool story. See, I live in a real small town about 80 miles southwest of Chicago. It's mostly farm around here and mostly cornfields. So he was out one night, you know, doing what teenagers do around here. We have nothing better than to do than drive around the back roads and hang out. So they were out super late. It's about 2 or 3 in the morning. They're out driving around in these cornfields and they had to stop and use the restroom. So he gets out with his friends, 2 guys in the car, and his friends, they all get out and they're all standing by the corn and they hear a noise way out in it. Now he explains it like this. It was like the wailing sound, but not a machine. It wasn't human and it wasn't the sound an animal can make. It was a weird wail of some sort. So he looks at his friend, says, did you hear that? His friend says, yeah. So he tells his friends that were in the car to hold on. Y'all get real quiet. Shut everything down and listen. Said, then they heard the corn start rustling. Then it was like it was coming closer to them. It says they could almost see the corn moving. The corn was kind of high, but they could see it moving as if this thing was getting closer and closer. So, of course, they start getting really freaked out and really, really quiet. And out of nowhere, they heard a girl's voice say, "Where are you, Mommy?" He said that his heart almost burst and that they screamed and all jumped in the car and Yardit started screaming to drive. They just took off right away. They were saying to each other, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" All of them all heard the same thing, said, "Oh my God, what was it?" And they couldn't figure it out. What was the wailing sound? Why would a little girl be in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of the dark at 3 a.m? Nothing they could figure out. That says, they go on to say, that we do live in a small farming community, that if there was a little girl missing in the corn, we would all know about it. Every farmer and every farm around here would know that nobody in this area would go missing without it. So they know that no one in their community was missing a child. So again, what was that? To hear the wailing, to hear the sound like it's calling. So like sirens in the ocean, could they also be in the fields? Now, you've heard us talk about Dr. Stepich. I'll give you a quick little thing. And Kyle and I may have discussed this before. I don't remember right offhand. So when he was younger, he and his wife and a friend of theirs went to not really investigate. They were hunting and they had found real tall patches of blue stem. So it gets real tall down here, right? And it's the same thing, big wavy grasses and all native grasses. And it's pretty hard to walk through, but you can see it moving. Like we always, whenever you have it on your place, it's fun because you can watch the pigs run through it and see the grasses move like that, like big wheat fields, right? And he told the story of being out there going to call coyotes and thought they had called in a pig. Now, this was years and years ago, y'all. Said they thought they had called in a pig. Now, when I say this is, I'd say late 70s, early 80s. And they thought they had called in a pig. And the way this thing was moving, as it came in, it was making some real guttural sounds, he said. And the smell of just like rot and dumpster and just the whole bad thing, like they report of a Sasquatch, right? But that you could see the grass moving like crazy, but it was tall, but it wasn't that kind of tall, right? It's not like 8 foot tall. It's, you know, 6 foot tall grass or 5 foot tall grass. You could see it moving there down. They didn't know what it was. Anyhow, all this goes down. Where it all went down from wasn't too far from an inlet that feeds where they saw the reported sightings of the Lake Worth monster down in that area. So it was all in this general vicinity. But that was something I always thought was and stuck with me as the idea. Now, they never saw it. They never got a shot. They never heard anything else. It was there. It interacted. Then it left. But what he was talking about was hearing these, and it's not really pig grunts, but hearing these sounds, seeing the moving grass and smelling the smell, right? Again, what could that be? We're seeing something move through there. So when you see this, what's physically moving? Whatever's moving can mimic the sound of a little girl at 3 a.m, this wailing that they sounded, didn't sound human, but didn't sound mechanical. Like, well, what was it? Otherworldly? Is that a fae sound? Like, what the hell is that sound, right? And then again, you see lights in the cornfield. People report seeing these strange lights. Trudy reports this. It says, "I'd like to tell you about this experience I had during the period of 6 months in college at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign when I was taking horseback riding lessons off campus. In order to get there, I had to drive through unlit, pitch black back roads through miles of cornfields in the evening. It was late fall, so it was very dark by 5 when I left for lessons. Every 2 weeks, I would drive out there, and I had a few different experiences on the long roads through the cornfields. First of all, every time I drove out there, I always saw little balls of light flying around. Now, I assumed they were fireflies or dust or something at first, but when I noticed that they were always different colors, like pink or green or yellow, I began to wonder. I would always see them, though, usually floating across the road in front of my car or floating down the road right toward my car and over it. So one night, it was particularly dark, and I was the only car on the road. Suddenly ahead of me, I saw a massive, tall rectangle that was even blacker than the night around me. It was a perfect rectangle, like a great big oversized door, and it was on my side of the road, but hovering maybe a foot off the road. It looked like a portal. But I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me for sure, so I rubbed them. I blinked, I squinted, but it was still there, and it was getting closer. I moved my head way over from side to side, and the road, corn, and stars disappeared behind it as I did so. So it was something solid, or at least real. There was now a car behind me, and the portal, or whatever it was getting bigger, and bigger really fast. So I'm sweating it. What do I do? Finally, at the last moment, I braked hard and swerved into the left lane and back again, skirting around it. I looked in my rearview mirror to see the car behind me had just gone straight, not seeing what I had. And when I turned around, the portal wasn't visible anymore. Very, very weird. Now, the scariest thing that I ever had happen was one night when I was really happy, singing along loudly to a bouncy, happy song on the radio. Well, then all of a sudden, in one instant, all the hair on the back of my neck and the top of my head rose a bit. And although I couldn't physically see it, I knew that something was reaching out really fast from the floorboard of the passenger seat with a scaly, clawed hand to grab at my right leg. I screamed at the top of my lungs and swerved into the left lane. Luckily, again, I was the only car on the road. My memory's a little fuzzy about this part, but I think my scream made the feeling immediately fade. So I continued down the road and tried to get back to my happy singing. But a few moments later, it happened again, and it was reaching even faster, as if it were trying to reach me before I could scream. But I screamed really loud, screeched to a halt, wrestled my seatbelt off, and threw myself out of the car. It was dead silent outside, with the corn blowing a bit in the wind, the happy music still playing in my car, and the beeping of my car door, standing open, were the only other sounds. I stood there shaking and breathing fast for a little while, until I was able to release all the fear and tell it very strongly and angrily to leave me alone and get out of my car. I waited until the heavy feeling of foreboding passed and until I felt happy again, so it couldn't come back and feed off my fears when I got back in. Well, I finally got back in and finished the drive without any more mishaps. That was sure freaky, though. What a crazy stretch of road, and I wonder to this day what all those things were. Folks, what could she have experienced? What could that have possibly been in the floorboard? Is it one and the same? Is it the Fae realm with the lights, the fairies, the Fae? What was a portal door? What kind of crazy portal system is floating out in the middle of a cornfield? Again, it's still the weirdness. It almost sounds like ley lines, but then what was that coming out? Was that something that attached itself? We don't know. Could have been one in the same. Could have been none in the same. Maybe they weren't related. Maybe they were. Either way, it is extremely strange that we have such weirdness around these cornfields. And if you've got creepy cornfield stories, I want to hear about them, folks. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll again pick Mr. Fizzy's brain. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Again. So there it is, creepy cornfields and cornfield mazes. Apparently, like I led off with, I'd had no idea that cornfield mazes are so damn popular all around this country. It is a thing. So folks, shoot some pictures, tag us in them, see what you got going on. I'd like to see some of the crazy cornfield mazes, especially all of y'all that are really, really into horror and scary and haunted houses and all that. Y'all that have been listening for a while know that we're not down with it. Now, Kyle's wife loves horror movies. Boy, she is
her scary and Luke.
They're junkies, right? Not Kyle, of course, not so much. But
my wife and Luke watch every horror movie there is, even if they know it's bad. Like, this looks bad, they'll watch it.
No, man, I can't.
I can't either.
I can't do that.
I'm just like, man.
I'd rather just go stand outside and stare at the grass.
Well, I don't need something to, like, give me nightmares. Who wants that, right?
Yeah, right. I'm not trying to be afraid. I'm afraid. Look, you want to be real scared? Just start walking around in the woods in the dark. That's how you get real scared.
Sometimes, yeah.
That is. So, okay. I need to ask you this. Speaking of the horror movies and things, and we talk about this, is there, and you brought up Raiders of the Lost Ark, is there movies that you look forward to only watching, like we've discussed, like we talk about Christmas movies and things like that? Are there some that you, do you ever rewatch movies that are like a Halloween style movie? Like, since October's right here and we got Halloween coming up and all of this wild stuff, is there anything that you watch? Like, do you like the original Friday the 13th, or do you like to watch like the original Halloween, or do you watch them, or do you just not watch it at all? Cause I don't really watch horror at all, no matter what time of year it is.
I don't set out to, but because Luke wants to watch movies with me, I will sit down and we usually watch a couple horror movies that he likes. And he, of course, he loves the Freddy Krueger line, so we'll watch one of those. He loves Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, the one that doesn't have like Mike Myers in it at all.
It's just the masks, isn't it?
Yeah. Silver Shamrock masks. He likes to watch that one.
Silver Bullet. Does he like Silver Bullet?
He loves Werewolves. Silver Bullet. Yeah, that's an excellent.
So he likes monsters more than like the spirits and the evil demon stuff.
Yeah, right. And he likes Creepshow. So we watch Creepshow quite a bit.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Even though it's like, you know, it's like five little stories in there. Even though we've seen it 100 times, every time around this time of year, we usually will watch Creepshow. But for me, I don't think that I really have one that I set out to watch every Halloween or whatever. I just kind of go with the flow.
You have them for like a few Christmas movies,
I do.
Right? But you don't for Halloween, or I don't. And I, you know, there's not one, I guess you could, depending on how you want to break it down, for Thanksgiving. But Halloween was always like his, you know, my daughter and my wife love Hocus Pocus.
Right, okay.
Their whole family, and then they've been jumping up and down for the second one to come out and this whole thing, so we'll see how that is. But I'm with you. I don't really watch any of that stuff, so I didn't know if you were really into certain ones, but with Lil Fizzy, it makes sense.
Yeah, I watch it by proxy, but like, I don't have an inkling to do it on my own. Now, when it comes to the holidays, I do. Like, I have to watch Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And I usually wind up watching all of them, right? But I definitely have to watch Die Hard. And I don't know how that came about. It's just something. Like, I don't know when it started. Like, because I can remember.
It started the minute the movie was released.
No, not for me.
Yeah, it is. Because you weren't an idiot. That's how it started.
I don't know. Like, 10 or 12 years ago, I started doing it. Where previous to that, I would just like randomly, once or twice a year, I would just watch it.
And just, now it's become a thing?
What was the one that The Rock did, which was basically like a tribute to Die Hard? It was basically the same thing, where they're like in a skyscraper or something.
I have no idea.
It's not, I mean, but while watching, I'm like, this is just Die Hard.
Yeah. I don't,
It's sad that Bruce Willis isn't going to be acting anymore.
Yeah, dude. That is a sad, sad thing. What's happening?
Why can't he play a part where he's like a mute?
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's like he's mentally.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like he's really slipped.
Man.
That's probably going to happen to me. It's happening to me now. It's probably going to happen even more to me now. No, I don't have one. I don't have anything worse, like I touched on with the cornfield stuff. I do like the Jeepers Creepers, but I tell you which one I like, the silly Jeepers Creepers too.
Yeah, Jeepers Creepers is pretty cool.
I like silly horror movies.
I like Jeepers Creepers because I like the idea of flying humanoids, right?
Yes.
And those are pretty cool. Speaking of cornfields, check this story out. It says, years back, my uncle bought some land that was offered to him for a very cheap price. The man who sold it to him looked very relieved when he gave my uncle the papers and the keys to the house. The field had consisted mostly of corn, and the house was located about 200 feet away from the field. It was a three-story house in immaculate condition. My uncle and his family settled right in. As months passed, they started to notice strange noises coming from the cornfield, but they just shrugged it off and say that it was probably just animals. One night, while preparing dinner, my aunt was washing some vegetables at the sink, and the sink was in front of the window that faced out towards a small swing set and the cornfield. At one point, She said she started to feel uneasy, but didn't know why. As she was rubbing the back of her neck, she started staring out the window, and there was someone standing on top of the swing set. Of course, she was startled, and she let out a scream, which sent my uncle running into the room. Now, she told him that there was someone out there, and without hesitation, he grabbed his rifle and went outside. Now, he went to the swing set and examined it and noticed distinct scratches on the pole that supports the swings. He then heard some footsteps behind him. As he turned, he said he saw a naked, bald man running into the cornfield. Now, wasting no time, my uncle ran after the man, and he tried to look for him for about 30 minutes. Now, thinking that he probably lost him, my uncle said he went to a main path in the cornfield and could hear this laughing coming from different directions, but he couldn't see anything. So, while walking back, at some point he said he heard some shuffling behind him, and he turned, only to see two other naked beings running away in the cornfield. Standing there left in shock, he was brought back to reality, he says, when something growled behind him. He turned to see what it was, and something knocked or ripped the rifle out of his hand. At this point, he was scared, and he ran all the way back to the house. Now, to this day, he never found out what those people or things were doing out in that field. And whenever I go over there to visit, I can't help it, but I do stare at the field and admit it, that no matter how much I stare or look or heard of the stories, I'm not walking out in that cornfield ever. Thanks for what you do, Emily.
Wow.
Wow.
You got to turn your mic
up. Wow.
So
it's something about the cornfields making noises. It's almost like they're portals, and I've covered the portal floating in the above the street out in front of the one cornfields. We've got wailing coming from them, little girls' voices coming from them. Why?
I don't know.
What is it about just open agriculture, especially right here before I go to Kansas next month?
Well, and like I said, he saw what looked like a naked man. And whatever it was, it seemed like it was toying with him, right? And then when he went out in the field, there was laughing sounds. Yeah. He couldn't find it. Then he saw more than one, so it had split, or there were multiple of these things. But it's just like the stories that we talk about all the time. It was like toying with him and trying to lure him into the forest. And for what reason? To abduct him? Is it fae? Is it demons? What? Why are there so many stories of people being in the woods or in a cornfield, whatever the reason, and these tricksters, they just like to mess with people?
It has to be fae, and the only reason I say I feel like it does is it feels because it involves so much nature. You would have to be nature-based to be out in the middle of a cornfield. There's nothing out there. It's not like there's underground burial chambers or or ancient mounds that are out in the middle of this cornfield, and that's where maybe there's evil coming from or whatever it is. No, it's nature. The same as in the woods, the same as in anywhere that you see, that's just how I feel, is that's what it is.
Like a nature spirit.
Yes. I tell you what, when I get to Kansas this year, I'm going to start quizzing every farmer I find.
There you go.
I'm going to ask them about all kinds of stuff, of hearing or anything strange happening, because I would like to talk to the guys up there. I bet it's a little more common than we realize. I think it's a lot like sightings and things is... You always have to, like we talk about, you got to think about the people reporting it. A bunch of old, just hardworking farmers, they're just not really going to just jump online or call everybody up just to tell them that. They ain't got time for that, right? We got to get the harvests done. We got to get work done. So, yeah, oh, that was crazy. I remember there's some weird stuff happens in that pasture, and then that's it.
And don't forget, one of the strangest phenomenon that happens in cornfields are these crop circles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Now, we know that people have come forward and say they hoaxed them and stuff like that, but there have been times where, I mean, you're talking about elaborate designs that appear overnight, and people will go out there and there's no tracks, there's no footprints. Like, some of that stuff's really hard to explain. And this has been going on for a while, not just in cornfields, but in wheat fields, also all over the world. What's doing that? Is that extraterrestrial? Alien. Also, is that like fae? Like, they're just another form of trickery. They're another form to mess with you.
I like to believe it's all some sort of fae relation, like when we were talking to Kutch. I mean, it's something that has to do kind of maybe along the same lines.
Yeah, I'll admit, ever since the movie Signs, I don't think I'll walk in a cornfield at night.
I told y'all. I knew that would. We've talked about it the very first time that movie came out. When we saw that thing go across that corn cut, we were like, when it steps into the corn.
Yeah. I know. Nope. I know the scene.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, if I shot a monster buck and it was at night and it ducked off in a cornfield, I might be like, you know, I'm waiting until tomorrow morning to go find that. I'm not lying. I don't know what it is about aliens that scares me so bad.
Because you can't defend yourself against them.
Right? You're helpless.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably helpless against Bigfoot, too. But at least I feel like we've said before, if I'm not in the woods, he's not right here in the room with me. But the alien can take you right out the wall.
Bigfoot, for whatever reason, I feel like I can barter with. Like, I could give him some beef jerky or, like, maybe a Snickers bar. You know, I like to think of Bigfoot as like Harry and the Hendersons Bigfoot, that he's really just a big, nice dummy, right?
Well, I want to think of him not a dummy. I want to think of him as like a super big, nice, like survivalist hippie.
Yeah.
That's how I like to think of him. Like, he likes to hand out hugs. He'll yell and scream if it'll scare you. He don't mean it. He's just trying to get you out of his place, right?
Yeah, and he likes to throw rocks.
Imagine, though, if they were like other primates and they threw their number two.
Oh.
Now, imagine this, if you will, because they're big animals. So how come that's not like a, you know, think of that as a skit. You imagine Bigfoot throwing Bigfoot scat. It'd be like getting hit with a chocolate pie.
I've seen scat in the woods before, and I'm like, I don't know what left is here, but it's big.
I do that over by his stand, folks. That's me going number three over by his stand.
What do you got planned for your weekend? Other,
hunting, baby.
Other than that, what do you got planned?
Waiting to hunt.
Oh, all right. That's it.
I'm going to hunt. I'm going to wait to hunt. I'm going to hunt some more. And then I'm going to sleep. And then I'm going to hunt. And I'm going to wait to hunt. And I'm going to hunt some more.
You have anything, you need amazing meals planned for the weekend?
Ooh.
Any grilling or?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest, and then my wife's birthday's this weekend, so.
Oh, so you got to do more than just go hunting. You better do something for her.
Dude, you know how long we've been together?
Yeah, still.
Doing something for her is me leaving her alone.
That's probably,
giving her money and just being like, see ya, and she's like, I love you, and then that's it, gone.
Yeah, you being gone hunting all weekend's probably a blessing to
it
her.
It is, that's her gift. She'll straight up tell you she can't wait for deer season to get here.
Because then you're not here.
Yeah, because then she gets to do her stuff, and we do our own things together. So yeah, 30 years I've been with that woman.
That's cool. Well, before we get out of here, let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors, Lumi Labs. Microdose is available nationwide. Remember, if you want to learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search online or go to microdose.com and use our promo code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. And don't forget about Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/expanded to start your 7-day free trial and get 20% off of Blinkist Premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST.com/expanded. That's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Till next time, be safe out there. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.